Bienvenidos a Tierra Insurgente.
Marhaba, assalamu alaikum, ahlan wa sahlan, a Tierra Insurgente, Intifada al-Ard. Welcome to Tierra Insurgente, Intifada al-Ard.
Tierra Insurgente, Intifada al-Ard es una alternativa a los medios convencionales de comunicación comprometidos a hablar de lo que no se habla. Insistimos y demandamos nuestro derecho a hablar y a actuar y a construir un mundo basado en nuestro propio contexto, historia y experiencia. Estamos comprometidos a la libertad, autodeterminación, tierra, lucha, justicia, comunidad y a los derechos de la gente indígena y todos los oprimidos a existir en nuestros propios términos y a defendernos en contra de cualquier forma de ocupación y opresión en las maneras en que nosotros lo definamos. Estamos comprometidos a luchar en contra del silencio y la ceguera. Estamos comprometidos a la gente y comunidad a hablar y a actuar por nosotros mismos.
Tierra Insurgente Intifada al-Ard is an alternative to conventional media committed to speaking what is not spoken. We insist and demand our right to speak and act and to construct a world based on our own context, our history and experience. We are committed to freedom, self-determination, land, struggle, justice, community, and the rights of indigenous and all oppressed peoples to exist on their own terms and to defend themselves against all forms of occupation and oppression in ways that they define. We are committed to struggling against silence and sleep and to people and communities speaking and acting for themselves.
Okay, brother, what would you like to tell our audience about what's happening in Haiti now?
What is going on in Haiti is an outrage. It's a human rights tragedy unfolding in Haiti. And it's been caused, it's man-made. It's made by the man, George Bush, Chirac, or France, and the Canadian Prime Minister, Paul Martin. It's man-made. And what they have done is they have empowered, they have financed killers, former members of the Haitian military, former death squad members. They have armed them and they have unleashed them on the population of Haiti. And now they are committing murder, rape, and trying and killing people because people are out there demanding decent wages. That's what it's all about. The struggle in Haiti is to end the apartheid system that exists in Haiti. They don't call it apartheid. They call it in Haiti, they say exclusion. But that's what it is. They have excluded the majority of our people from the life of the country, from them having an education, access to clean water, access to decent health care. And so this is some the people of Haiti have risen up against. And so today, I got word there was a huge demonstration on this anniversary of President Aristide's kidnapping, and we call it a kidnapping, combination of a coup d'etat and a kidnapping, and people took to the streets demanding his return, and the police fired on the crowd. Who was providing cover for the police? The United Nations forces, and particularly these UN forces are led by Brazil. See, we cannot let, we have to let the people of Brazil know that President Lula's policies abroad in Haiti are not in their name, because the people of Brazil wouldn't stand for that kind of stuff. And many of the countries in Latin America, the Argentinians, the Chilean troops are there. And we know the people of these countries would never support that kind of stuff. So I want to really urge people to call the UN in protest, to express their outrage, to really call on various countries that are their own home countries, call on their leaders and say, stop this thing. We want you out of Haiti. If you want to help, you got to help bring Aristide back. At least show the solidarity that we in Central America, in South America, in the Caribbean, throughout the Americas, need to have with each other. People-to-people solidarity, connectedness for peace, to put an end to this policy of the U.S. of fomenting coup d'etats and assassinations and murders of our people. Yes, since Haiti became a country, there was the U.S. And Haiti was anti-colonialist, which the U.S. Revolution was about, the American Revolution. However, Haiti went a big step further than the Haitian Revolution, went several steps ahead of the American Revolution in declaring and applying the principle of full equality and freedom, abolishing slavery, and calling on runaway slaves, on enslaved people throughout the world to come to Haiti, they would get political asylum, and they would become automatic Haitian citizens, see? And so that really, from the very beginning, 200 years ago, that was counter to U.S. policy, because U.S. policy, they had slavery, and they saw Haiti as something that had to be destroyed. So as we fast forward in present day, and it was based on this conception of the U.S., of the governments at that time, that the U.S. led an economic boycott of Haiti way back when, 200 years ago, but also a political boycott at the first Pan-American Conference, even though Haiti had helped Simon Bolivar and the South American revolutionaries in their struggle, right? Haitian blood was shed in many of the countries in the struggles for liberation against Spain. The U.S. managed to rally a coalition of South American countries to block Haiti from participating in the first Pan-American Conference, you see? And so what we are seeing today is the very same, it's a repeat of what happened 200 years ago. So that's what we are calling, and the immediate thing is that the Haitian elite that has traditionally been squeezing our people, acted as the overseers, through which U.S. corporations exploit the labor of the people of Haiti. They have many interests there. So when the people are rising up and are demanding that the wages be raised and that labor code be enforced and that those corporations pay taxes, then Aristide and the Lavalas party that stands on these principles become an enemy that has to be destroyed. That's what's going on today.
Thank you, brother. That was really great.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Well, I would urge people to get information on Haiti by going on our website, www.haitiaction.net. And also, people, we really urge that, and people can call us at 510-483-7481.
Buenas noches, bienvenidos nuevamente a Tierra Insurgente. Acabamos de escuchar las palabras de Pierre Labussière, compañero haitiano que actualmente está emprendiendo una lucha desde la panza de la bestia, Estados Unidos, para contar la verdadera historia de Haití y tomar acciones en contra de la ocupación de su país. Esta entrevista fue tomada por Tía el 28 de febrero en una marcha en protesta en el primer aniversario del golpe de Estado que se realizó en Haití, secuestrando al presidente Jean-Bertrand Aristide. El presidente Aristide fue abrumantemente electo en noviembre del 2000 con un 92% de los votos en Haití. Observadores locales e internacionales manifestaron la votación con un 65% debido a la presión estadounidense. La OEA se rehusó a enviar observadores y la oposición boicoteó las elecciones. Aún no obstante, no hay ninguna disputa de que la gran mayoría de Haití votó nuevamente por el presidente Aristide.
Haití fue el primer país en el mundo en liberarse de la esclavitud. En 1804, 400.000 esclavos africanos se levantaron en contra del régimen colonial francés. Haití fue declarada una nación libre en 1871.
Desde el comienzo, los países colonizadores se negaron a reconocer la independencia de Haití. Y ante estos, no fue reconocida como una nación hasta 82 años después, por temor a que este levantamiento representara una amenaza para el sistema de esclavitud de Estados Unidos. Haití fue forzado a pagar por reparaciones a sus ex dueños colonizadores a cambio del reconocimiento y comercio diplomático, una deuda equivalente a lo que hoy serían 21.7 millones de dólares. Haití cerró todas sus escuelas públicas con el fin de pagar la primera cuota. Esto fue conocido como el primer caso de ajuste estructural en el hemisferio. Hoy en día no mucho ha cambiado. fuerzas neocolonizadoras como Estados Unidos ha levantado un embargo de ayuda económica desde la elección democrática del presidente Aristide en el 2000, junto con el financiamiento de los grupos opositores de la élite. Ha apoyado intentos de golpes por los paramilitares y ha llevado a cabo una ofensiva propagandística en contra del gobierno de Aristide. Mientras la administración de Bush pretende imponer su régimen y dominación en Irak, trata de derrocar al gobierno venezolano, desarrolla campañas anticastristas, destroza los derechos humanos dentro del país. El asalto de Haití llevado a cabo por Estados Unidos pasa desapercibido. Mas continúan los esfuerzos para poner al descubierto las intenciones de este intento recolonizador. La lucha haitiana continúa y no claudica. El pueblo de Haití conoce su historia y es por eso que reclaman el retorno de Aristide, por ser este un acto de justicia y soberanía. Haití no volverá a ser una colonia esclava. Con el fin de engañar y someter a la gente frente al apoyo popular por Aristide y su partido Lavalas, el financiamiento y apoyo a los grupos y ataques paramilitares han resurgido, haciendo que los haitianos temieran un coup d'état, golpe de Estado apoyado por los Estados Unidos. El 17 de diciembre de 2001, 30 comandos con armas pesadas atacaron y tomaron el Palacio Nacional. Anunciaron que Aristide no era más el presidente e intentaron ejercer coerción con la seguridad del Palacio Nacional para que se unieran al golpe de Estado. Eventualmente los hombres armados fueron enfrentados por la policía de Haití y por miles de civiles que tomaron las calles cuando se enteraron que el golpe estaba en progreso. Posteriormente, estos grupos paramilitares continuaron llevando a cabo un sinnúmero de ataques contra la población y la policía haitiana. La resistencia haitiana contra la globalización. Desde 1994, el pueblo haitiano y su gobierno ha recibido intensa presión para adoptar pólizas económicas neoliberales, así como la apertura de los mercados a los bienes estadounidenses. En Haití, esas pólizas son conocidas como el Plan Lanmu o Plan de la Muerte. Cuando Aristide volvió a Haití en 1994, los oficiales estadounidenses esperaban que las empresas públicas de Haití, como la compañía de teléfono, electricidad, aeropuerto, entre otras, serían rápidamente privatizados, preferentemente a multinacionales estadounidenses junto con la élite haitiana. Pero en los últimos meses de su primer término, Aristide se rehusó a llevar a cabo tales privatizaciones, llamando por el contrario a un diálogo nacional. Fue en este momento que 550 millones de dólares de ayuda interna dejaron de fluir. A pesar de las presiones, solo las plantas de cementos y harina fueron vendidas. El gobierno haitiano realizó grandes inversiones en la agricultura, transporte público e infraestructura. La educación y salud han sido grandes prioridades durante ambas administraciones de Aristide. Más escuelas en Haití fueron construidas desde 1994 al 2000 que de 1804 a 1994. Actualmente el promedio de analfabetismo se encuentra entre el 55% y 60%. Todos los avances y logros durante el gobierno de Aristide han sido obviados por el Departamento de Estado estadounidense. Sin embargo, la lucha haitiana no se basa únicamente en el retorno del presidente Aristide. Esta es una demanda justa y soberana por parte de su pueblo. Su lucha es para terminar el sistema apartheid, el sistema de exclusión de racial que se ha llevado a cabo en este país por años. En Haití vemos un intento recolonizador, detrás del cual se encuentran los Estados Unidos, Francia y todos los aliados del plan recolonizador como Brasil, Argentina, Chile, que actualmente tienen tropas ocupando Haití. Vemos que los representantes de estos países, utilizando el mismo lenguaje falso con el que Estados Unidos se fue a una guerra ilegal contra Irak. En el caso de Haití vemos aún un mayor intento, inclusive por los medios de comunicación progresista, de negar la realidad de lo que el pueblo haitiano quiere y su lucha por justicia e igualdad. Es nuestra responsabilidad quitarnos la venda de los ojos, que no nos permite ver la lucha y resistencia del pueblo haitiano, y buscar la verdad para solidarizarnos con ellos y tener una voz en la defensa de su causa. Urgimos a nuestros compañeros que nos escuchan que busquen los medios para obtener información verídica acerca de Haití. Pueden visitar la página de web que el compañero Pierre mencionó, que es www.haitiaction.org. o escribir a Tierra Insurgente para solicitar las traducciones del material relacionado a Haití. Nuestro correo electrónico es tierrainsurgente@yahoo.com y recuerden, Haití no volverá a ser una colonia esclava.
Gracias, compañera, for that excellent analysis about Haiti. Before our compañera gave her analysis in Espanol, we heard from Pierre Labussier, who is from the Haiti Action Committee and is a Haitian refugee. We interviewed Pierre on February 28th in San Francisco for the one-year anniversary of the coup d'etat in Haiti, in which Jean-Bertrand Aristide was forcibly removed from the presidency of Haiti. This was an important demonstration marking the 1 year of the coup d'etat, and it's important for all of us to understand the larger political context in which Haiti exists now, because Haiti is under occupation, and it's an occupation that is no different than the occupation of Iraq, it's no different than the occupation of Afghanistan, and it's no different than the occupation of Palestine. The occupation of Haiti also has direct implications for the oppression of people of color and immigrants here in the United States. When we try to understand the context, the historical context of Haiti, it's important to realize that the United States has been attacking and trying to destabilize Haiti for about 200 years. We have to ask ourselves the question why. Why would the United States be attacking such a small country like Haiti? And when Pierre Labussier, our comrade, spoke during the interview, he said something that was very important. 200 years ago, when Haiti had its independence, what it did essentially was offer freedom and citizenship to all slaves, wherever they may live, anywhere in the world. And of course, this frightened the United States because they were committed to the slave industry. And they were afraid that freedom for slaves in Haiti might migrate up to the United States, and that the African slaves in the United States might get some ideas. So 200 years ago, the United States was imposing economic and political sanctions on Haiti. So it's important for all of us to understand the context in which Haiti is under occupation now. And if you want more information and would like to contact our comrade Pierre Labussier, you can go to www.haitiaction.org, or you can write to us at tierrainsurgente@yahoo.com.
De la historia negra, de la historia nuestra, caballero, y dice así.
No le
Acabamos de escuchar el tema La Rebelión con Joe Arroyo del grupo Nietzsche.
Welcome to Tierra Insurgente Intifada al Ard 103.3. Now we're going to switch from an analysis and discussion of Haiti to another important occupation that's occurring in the world today, and that is the occupation of Palestine. Palestine and its occupation are frequently misunderstood in the progressive community and in the non-progressive community. So what we want to try to do today is deconstruct and unpack a little bit the current context of the occupation of Palestine and its struggle for freedom, dignity, and self-determination. Of course, it's important to understand that the struggle for Palestine is on the forefront of the larger anti-imperial struggle. It's connected to the struggle in Haiti, it's connected to the struggle in Afghanistan, it's connected to the struggle in Iraq, Cuba, Venezuela. Wherever there's an anti-imperial struggle, Palestine is intimately connected and associated with those struggles. It's part of a larger anti-colonizing struggle, and it's a struggle against racism, Zionism, empire, globalization, and the colonizing project wherever it exists anywhere in the world. As we begin to understand the context of Palestine, first and foremost, it's important to understand that this is a conflict that has not been going on for thousands of years. Quite the contrary, this is a conflict that's been going on only for 56 years. 56 years ago, Palestine was colonized by Zionist racist forces, and that is when we date the struggle for a free and independent Palestine. Of course, it's important to understand in the larger context, when we understand what Palestine is about and what Palestinians are struggling for, one crucial fact is important for all of us to understand. Before 1948, Israel did not exist. It's important to emphasize that before 1948, Israel did not exist. What existed was Palestine. What existed were Palestinians. Palestinians are the indigenous people to the land of Palestine and have been working and connecting to the land for thousands of years. One of the biggest myths perpetuated in the corporate media, of course, is the fact that this is a struggle that's been going on for thousands of years. In fact, it is not. The struggle for a free Palestine is firmly planted in the anti-imperial, anti-colonizing, anti-racist struggle that all people of color are confronting today. And it is a colonizing project that only started 56 years ago. Let's try to put things in a larger historical context at this point, because it's important to understand some important figures at the time so that we can wrap our mind around what Palestinians are doing now. What are they struggling for? In terms of the larger context historically, people are kind of surprised to see that in 1900, when we look at the population of Palestine in 1900, 97% of the population in 1900 in historic Palestine were Palestinian Arabs, many of whom were Christians and Muslims. Only 3% of the population in historic Palestine in 1900 were Jewish. In terms of land ownership, 97% of the land that was owned in 1900 were owned by these Palestinian Arab, Christian, and Muslim Palestinians, and only 3% of the land was owned by the Jewish population. Let's fast forward to 1948 and look at what happened in May 15th, 1948, because this is an important fact to understand, that in 1948, on May 15th, the day Israel declared itself a state, it had a little problem because the majority of the people on the land of historic Palestine, when Israel declared itself a state, were still Palestinian, Arab, Muslim, and Christians. In fact, the day Israel declared itself a state, close to 70% of the population of historic Palestine was still Palestinian. And on that day, the day before Israel declared itself a state, land ownership was still 90% in the hands of the Arab population. So, of course, as a colonizing force, as a white European colonizing force, which is equally important to understand in this context, the Zionist project had a very difficult dilemma, a very difficult problem on its hand. It declared itself a state, yet the majority of people on the land of historic Palestine in what was and was called at that time Israel were still indigenous Palestinian Arabs. In order to solve this problem of what to do, having declared itself a state, with the majority of people still being the indigenous people, they decided to engage in a wholesale ethnic cleansing of Palestinians. So in 1948 and into 1949, the state of Israel engaged in the largest ethnic cleansing in the history of recorded ethnic cleansings. Over 800,000 Palestinians were ethnically cleansed and removed from their indigenous lands. 531 Palestinian villages were depopulated. Massacres occurred, and there was a wholesale removal, an attempt to remove anything that resembled Palestinianness from the land of historic Palestine. In fact, one of the things that the Zionists did at the very beginning is they were removing Palestinians from their homes and their land and their villages. As they would do this, one of the first things that they would do would be to change the name of the village or the town from an Arab name and give it a Hebrew name. This is important because we understand that imperial projects and colonizing projects are just not physical, but they're also psychological and with respect to narrative and language, trying to control the language. So for the last 56 years, of course, the State of Israel, which claims to be a Jewish-only state, which is obviously a racist formation, has been trying to erase anything having to do with Palestinianness from the land of historic Palestine. If we fast forward now to 2005 and understand what Palestinians are struggling for right now, it's clear that Palestinians are struggling for the same thing that the Zapatistas are struggling for. They're struggling for the same thing that the Iraqis are struggling for. They're struggling for the same thing that all indigenous and oppressed people are struggling for, which is freedom, self-determination, and the ability to reconnect to their indigenous roots and their land and their culture and history. So when we understand what the Intifada is, which we are now, the corporate media describes this as the second Intifada since September of 2000. In fact, by the way, Palestinians have had numerous Intifadas, but the corporate media only identify two. In September of 2000, there was an Intifada, which in Arabic means uprising. And what that intifada was a direct attempt to remove and resist the brutal occupation of the Israeli occupation of historic Palestine. The way we understand and the way Palestinians understand occupation is very simple. Occupation is a form of colonization. It's a form of globalization. It's a form of imperialism, which attempts to dispossess, dislocate, and disconnect Palestinians from their history, from their land, from their context, and from each other. And so what Palestinians are doing by having an intifada is resisting an attempt to obliterate them, obliterate them from their connection to their land and to each other. And this is what an uprising is. This is what resistance is. The struggle against the occupation is obviously a struggle against racism, because when we understand the historical context of Palestine, we understand that what white European Jews tried to do was instill a white European kind of structure for Jews only in the Arab world. And if anybody has been visiting historic Palestine in what is called Israel now, you understand that there is extreme amount of white supremacy and white privilege. If you're a dark person in historic Palestine, you're treated like a third and fourth class citizen. So Palestine, for all people of conscience, for all oppressed people, for people struggling all over the world, is a symbol of resistance against empire. It's a symbol of resistance against colonization. It's a symbol against a fight against globalization. Because if you're in Palestine now, for example, and we know that all colonizing and imperial projects attempt to exploit and control the indigenous people, if you go to occupied Palestine now and you go into a Palestinian store, for example, you will not see Palestinian products. You will see the products of their occupier. That is a form of occupation. Palestinians living in the West Bank and Gaza Strip cannot even control their own natural resources. They cannot even control the water that they live on. They will be shot at and killed if they try to extract water from their own wells, because the Israelis control the water. This is a form of control and exploitation. And of course, there's labor. Palestinians are often used as slaves by their occupiers for less, working for 12, 14, 16 hour a day, working for less than $4 a day at those outrageous working conditions. When we put Palestine in that context, we can understand Palestine in terms of the larger anti-globalization, anti-imperial struggle. It's important to understand that. And it's important for all oppressed people to rise up and stand in solidarity with the people of Palestine, because unless Palestine is free, no oppressed person can be free.
Ahora nos trasladamos a otro pequeño rincón del mundo, Palestina. No cabe duda que pequeños rincones del mundo llevan a cabo unas de las más grandes luchas y resistencias en el mundo, y son estas grandes luchas y resistencias las que generan una serie de dudas y titubeos, obviamente fuera del movimiento progresista y dentro del llamado movimiento progresista mismo. Es por eso que esta noche le hemos dedicado nuestra programación a Haití y Palestina, luchas que están íntimamente conectadas con la lucha iraquí, afganistana, cubana y toda lucha antiimperialista, por ser esta misma una lucha antiimperialista. Esto es lo que muchos parecen no entender. Ahora vamos con un poco de contexto histórico. En 1948 se llevó a cabo lo que conocemos como un enorme rechazo étnico o limpieza étnica. Europeos sionistas blancos forzosamente retiraron la presencia de más del 80% de la población árabe palestina. 531 aldeas palestinas fueron destruidas y muchas masacres se llevaron a cabo. Hombres, mujeres, niños fueron asesinados en sus hogares. Esto creó el problema más grande y antiguo de refugiados hoy en día en el mundo. Es importante que la gente se dé cuenta que este conflicto no tiene miles de años como muchos pretenden hacerlo ver. Esta lucha, este problema, este conflicto, solamente lleva 56 años, basados en el día en el que Israel colonizó Palestina. Antes de 1948, Israel no existía, y esto es algo que hay que tener muy claro cuando entendemos el contexto histórico de Palestina. La gente que vivía en esa tierra eran palestinos, árabes, cristianos y musulmanes. La lucha palestina por una Palestina libre es claramente una lucha antiimperialista. Es una lucha de resistencia al proyecto imperialista que busca erradicar la existencia de la gente indígena y su derecho a vivir libremente en su tierra bajo sus propios términos, bajo un contexto creado por su propia historia y gente. La lucha palestina se encuentra en el frente de la lucha antiimperialista. Parte del proyecto sionista, que es un proyecto imperialista y racista, es controlar los recursos naturales, los mercados y la fuerza laboral de la gente indígena palestina. Los palestinos tienen su propio tratado de libre comercio, entre comillas, gracias a este proyecto. Así que, por ejemplo, los palestinos solamente pueden encontrar productos israelitas en sus propias tiendas, así como tampoco pueden controlar sus propios recursos naturales. Últimamente, y no menos importante, la ocupación ha creado condiciones brutales que fuerzan a los palestinos a trabajar para sus ocupantes por salarios tan bajos y su condición laboral es similar a la de los esclavos. Actualmente la intifada es contra la ocupación. Y ahora definamos un poco lo que los palestinos consideran ocupación, la ocupación de su propia tierra, gente, historia y cultura. La ocupación es un intento de desposeer, desubicar y desconectar a los palestinos de su tierra, historia, cultura, así como al uno del otro. La ocupación no es en nada diferente a cualquier otra forma de imperialismo, racismo, colonización y globalización. Todos estos son intentos para controlar y explotar a los indígenas y desconectarlos de su tierra. Es por eso que la lucha de los palestinos se asemeja a la resistencia y lucha de la gente indígena que vive de la tierra a lo largo y ancho del mundo entero, gente que vive de su historia, cultura y tradiciones constantemente siendo demonizados y criminalizados por hacerlo. Aquí hay un análisis de raza muy profundo que realizar. La gente que es del color de la tierra y sabe vivir de ella mejor que nadie más es asesinada, ocupada, criminalizada, como anteriormente mencionamos, desplazada por fuerzas imperialistas que buscan obtener el control de los recursos que estos indígenas campesinos trabajan, y la única manera de lograr tener el absoluto control de estos recursos es controlando a la gente que vive de ellos. Pero siempre la resistencia y la lucha por su tierra y vida será parte del frente de las resistencias a lo largo del globo.
That was Rabih Abu Khalil, Between Dusk and Dawn, and that was The Bat Dance.
Estaba agarrado.
Esa fue Lila Downs, una canción de la cual desconozco su nombre, del álbum Una Sangre, porque toda la gente de color somos una sangre y luchamos por lo mismo.
Oh,
That was Al-Fanoun from their album Zagarid. And the name of that tune was Initiation of Ecstasy. Al-Fanoun is a Palestinian folklore group that plays traditional Palestinian songs.
Bueno, compañeros, hemos llegado al final de nuestra programación. Espero que hayan encontrado en el programa de hoy información inspiradora, motivadora, para que sigan buscando los medios que sean necesarios para enterarnos y acercarnos cada vez más a la verdad, porque cada vez que estemos más cerca a la verdad, estaremos un paso más cerca a la libertad. Antes de irnos, queremos hacer un anuncio. Como siempre, desde enero hemos venido haciendo anuncios acerca del 19 de marzo. El 19 de marzo es el segundo aniversario de la invasión de Irak, y en esa fecha se llevarán a cabo diferentes manifestaciones a nivel nacional e internacional, pues es el Día Global de Acción. Y aquí en San Francisco la gente estará reuniéndose a las 11 de la mañana en Dolores para marchar hacia el centro cívico. Dentro de esta marcha estará llevándose a cabo un contingente muy importante, un contingente de inmigrantes, gente de color y refugiados. Un contingente que estará liderando la marcha para decir con nuestra propia voz, con nuestros propios pies y nuestras propias manos, que cese la invasión en contra de Irak, Palestina, Haití, Afganistán, Cuba y en todas partes del mundo, desde Irak y Palestina hasta nuestras comunidades, porque los inmigrantes dentro de este país nos hemos visto sufrir las consecuencias de esta guerra. Estaremos ahí presentes no solamente para oponernos a la ocupación, sino para decir que cese la ocupación de nuestras comunidades y todos los ataques brutales que estamos viviendo, que cese el racismo, la discriminación, y tomaremos nuestro propio espacio, siendo este la calle, y tomaremos con nuestra propia voz el lugar que debemos tener dentro de un movimiento mucho más largo, en el que nosotros, como gente de color e inmigrantes dentro de este país, tenemos que decir alto y tomar con nuestras propias manos lo que nos merecemos. Espero que los veamos ahí. El contingente estará reuniéndose a las 10 de la mañana en la esquina de la calle 18 y Dolores. No olviden, separen la fecha. Espero que muchos de ustedes ya lo tengan en sus calendarios y espero que nos estemos viendo ahí. Eso ha sido todo por hoy. Se despide su compañera en Insurgencia y espero encontrarlos también el próximo domingo a las 8 de la noche en Tierra Insurgente, Intifada al Art, en la 103.3 de la FM. Y no olviden que si tienen comentarios, dudas, noticias, aportes, pueden escribirnos a tierrainsurgente@yahoo.com. Sigan resistiendo.
Gracias, compañera. This is Tierra Insurgente, Intifada del Ard, 103.3. We're coming to the close of our show this evening. We'd like to make a few announcements before we close out the show today. This Saturday, March 19th, is the two-year anniversary of the destruction invasion of Iraq, and there's going to be thousands and thousands of protests from all over the world protesting this brutal occupation. One of the biggest protests is going to be in San Francisco, and we're encouraging our listeners to show up at Dolores Park on Saturday, March 19th at 11 a.m., where we're going to confront the imperial project and the war and occupation of Iraq with our fists high, with our fists raised, and marching in the streets of San Francisco. We'll meet at Dolores Park at 11 a.m. There will be a program from 11 to 12, and then marching from Dolores Park to the Civic Center. What we're calling out is the invasion and destruction of Iraq, bringing the troops back from this brutal occupation. We're calling for the end of all occupations in Afghanistan, in Palestine, in Cuba, in Venezuela. And we're calling on an end to the oppressive tactics and the destruction of our communities, oppressed communities of color here in the United States. So this is an important time. We're also asking our communities of color and oppressed people and immigrants to march with us in a immigrant people of color contingent on March 19th. We're asking that people meet us at 10:30 a.m. at the corner of 18th and Dolores for a very active, very loud, very spirited, with our fists raised high contingent. So join us. For more information, you can write us at tierrainsurgente@yahoo.com. And stay tuned next Sunday, 8 p.m., 103.3, Tierra Insurgente. Good evening, everybody. Peace, self-determination, struggle, and resistance.